not as good as you.
There literally wasn't a period at the end. I didn't know if it needed finished.
I'm not big on periods.
Oliver was.
Yep, too soon.
Look at that. 2-3 seconds.
Damn it.
Did you not?
I
you
didn't, just not right out. Away. Yeah, not right away. No, I was thinking he was because he was so smart in grammar. It was bad. There's your cold open.
Welcome to our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, fatherhood, and film. This is Jelani, and with me, as always, are two scholarship boys who buy their clothes from Oxfam, Martin and Brady.
Lots of people get lost in Saltburn.
I don't know what you are, but I do know you. You make my fucking blood run cold.
This week, we couldn't avoid it any longer and finally succumbed to all the talk and TikTok surrounding Saltburn. So we accepted the invitation and watched what is sure to be one of the most polarizing films in recent memory. And of course, we'll discuss that scene. Or is it scenes?
Definitely.
I think it's plural.
There's a lot. Yeah. I wasn't sure. When I first saw this movie a couple weeks ago, I was like, I don't think we're going to do this for the pod. I don't think it's right for most people.
Weren't you the...
I changed my mind. Yes, I was the one. I was the one because I just needed it. It stuck with me. Like, I kept thinking about it and I kept seeing stuff about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I liked it, the more I wanted to rewatch it. And I'm dying to know what you guys think of it. If you hate it, if you're on the, because I kind of love it now.
So I had heard, I was on a text thread with Redding, friend of the pod, and Iman, friend of the pod. And yeah. Iman, I think, had said it was kind of in the TikTok craze, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, and we'll touch on that, like, but you couldn't miss it if you were on TikTok. There was little snippets or anything that was kind of intriguing,
yeah,
trying to push
that's,
it out there.
That's what first made me watch it. Yeah.
Right. And so Redding, I think, started it, and he was like, don't watch it. and you were like, okay, fine, good, all right, cool. That's good. I don't need to, right? So then, yeah, well, you were like, I think we should do Saltburn, and I was like, okay. And I will, right? Like, yeah. You know, I'm in. And so to hear you say that now, that you were like, yeah, I watched it, and I was like, we probably don't need to do it. I was like, that is not what you said to us. You were literally like, we should do this. And I'm like, yeah. You sure you want to only do this?
I think it's important to do. Like, I think it's important to discuss, and I figured you, I don't know. So what does that mean about how you like it?
So, sorry. Yeah, I know that didn't answer your question. I was just trying to provide an anecdote about my intro to the movie.
Yeah.
But I feel like I did not really like the movie. But I've thought about it. It's funny the way you said it, because it has, thinking back on it, like today, kind of putting stuff together.
Yeah.
I feel like I liked more than I recognized in the moment. Although, yep. I don't know if that means I actually like the movie or not.
All right, Jelani?
Yeah. So this was one that kind of just, I'm not on TikTok, so I didn't see any of those.
Wait, how?
Because I have two friends or three friends that send me all the TikToks, yeah. So I don't need to be on there.
Your algo would be heavily influenced by what you get from us.
Yeah. So I saw it pop up on Prime as I was, you know, finishing Jack Reacher or Jack Ryan, one of the Jacks, and I was like, I was intrigued. I'm like, let me see what this is about. Like, I really kind of did want to just check it out. And then I heard some of the scenes that were in it, and that, yeah, we'll definitely talk about. So when we started watching it, I was like, okay, all right. And then I just rolled with it, because again, you're in the movie and you're watching it. Gave me a lot of single white female Talented Mr. Ripley vibes.
Totally when I Talented initially Mr. watched Ripley, it. Yep.
I've never saw that.
Well, we'll do it when they do their new one too.
Okay, fair.
They're doing a remake.
Yeah,
still talented.
No, just Mr. Ripley. I think.
Oh, it makes me want to rewatch Mr. Ripley.
Is that Andrew Scott?
Yeah,
that's connected to that.
Yeah, it's a remake. I think.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
because I haven't seen the first
one. Andrew Scott, so good.
So good.
The Moriarty,
Hot
right?
Priest.
And Hot Priest from Fleabag. Yeah, yeah. Sherlock. He's amazing. He's an amazing 100%
agree.
I've seen him do.
So he could have been in this movie.
He does like Hamlet speeches or for something. And
sure.
The way he does it now. I mean, it's so much better than you've ever seen, like the Hamlet soliloquy. I don't know. It's weird to say.
I'm at zero, so.
you've seen a version of Hamlet or read it or nothing? Never?
Maybe. No, not that I'm aware of.
All right. Never mind. We did it in high school.
Did Gibson do it?
Yeah, Mel Gibson did one. There's just been like
that didn't make
Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, I was going to say Branagh.
It's actually really good. His version's really good too. But again, Andrew Scott doing it is better than
anybody. I did not know that Ripley movie was related or a remake of Talented Mr. Ripley.
And it's a book, right?
Talented Mr. Ripley. Really interesting. Okay, yeah. Well, then here forth, we will be doing both of those.
Yeah, for sure. Because I want to rewatch that one too. But definitely, you're right on the vibes.
Yeah.
And
did you watch it with Jen?
Yes.
Did you watch it with Lindsay?
No.
So, yeah, I was pretty.
I don't know if I could.
100%. I'm 100% sure Mary wants nothing.
I was very glad I watched it solo. And even the second time, I'm like, I don't know if I wanted to watch it with me or not. I don't know.
That's why I was curious if you watched it with her. Okay. Yeah. Look, all of our significant others are different and the same in some ways, right? But
I wouldn't recommend this movie to everybody.
No,
and I don't think I would recommend it to you guys.
You did.
I'm not recommending. I made you watch it for this pod, for this conversation.
That's
which
a loose
is very
wreck.
Different.
That's
very
a loose different. Wreck.
Well, even I was giving it to friends as well. I'm like, has anyone seen it? And I think I told Kevin and my brother, don't watch it.
Kevin, no.
But Mike and Steven, I'm like, you guys.
Yeah. Steven, yes.
Yeah,
Steven,
I'm like,
yes.
You guys should watch it. And then my brother's like, well, if you're telling me not to watch it, now I have to.
Classic Matt.
Yeah, exactly. The contrarian. But yeah, I can't recommend. I can only recommend it to certain people.
I 100% agree. Yeah. So, sorry. Back to how to finish your thought on the movie. And then also, I'm curious what Jen thought.
Yeah. So when we got done with the movie, though, that was, I think, the funniest part. Because you know how if you watch it on Amazon or anything, they'll like, did you like it or did you hate it? And I'm like, is there a middle option? Because I did not hate it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I loved it, though. Would I watch it again? I don't know. Maybe. I might.
I think it definitely rewards you on a second viewing because of the whole... Like, I didn't know where it was going. I had no idea about it.
I agree.
Other than knowing I saw, like, some TikTok that said there's some scene. I'm like, whatever. There's a scene.
So, sorry.
But yeah, I walked into it not knowing what it was about. I thought... And that's what I really like about it is that you think you're watching one movie where he's in love with Jacob, he's in love with Felix, right? Barry Keoghan, Oliver is in love with Felix, and he just wants to be in with the cool kids crowd. But then it switches. I think when you find out about his parents, which is like an hour into the movie,
right?
And then it switches again with the ending. So I feel like that's very interesting, and it's hard. It's like a Sixth Sense thing. When you watch it the second time, you're like, you're looking for all the little clues. Are they there?
Like the rock,
like the rock
when he throws his dad's rock, but he doesn't.
It
throw
doesn't
the water.
Hit the water because he's not dead.
Because he's not dead. Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Like that kind of stuff, and just the way that they're acting and the writing of it all, how it plays into what you're supposed to think versus what's really happening,
right?
And how it works, and it's a very intriguing, very well shot, beautifully written, beautifully acted movie, with a couple of scenes that are stand out to make it shock value.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good movie, even if you take those 3-4 scenes out. I still think it's a great movie.
So I was kind of like, recording my notes as I went along. They're kind of chronological. And I will say, I recognized it. I think I was like, the bathtub? I was like, because it felt like.
I think that's the biggest, that scene.
Really?
No.
You don't?
I don't even know if it's top two.
The bathtub is, for me, for sure, the most shocking
scene. Okay, well, hold on. I think Jelani and I are agreeing on what that scene is.
Yeah,
is.
Wow.
The bathtub was the first.
Yes, yeah, it was the first one. I'll give you that one.
Definitely the first. And that's why I was like, I literally said, the bathtub. I'm like, he's become a completely different person. That was my note. And then in hindsight, I went back. I'm like, that was likely the first. It may have happened prior to that, and I actually thought that I started thinking. I'm like, I wonder if I rewatched this, if I would have picked up on something a little bit earlier than that might have been a shift. And I think in hindsight, that's also before at the end of the movie when you kind of realize this has been going on a lot longer. But, okay, I can't even think. Dude, the grave scene is way number one over that.
Yeah.
I
think the sister scene.
Right, we all have different ones.
That was the one shocking. They were just like,
mine was one. Sister, three is Vatha.
Yeah, wow, that's wild. So I'm the sister scene. I'm the Venetia scene. I think that was the first time where I thought what you're saying, Brady, that he's a totally different person, right? Because he went in
with
there.
The
he
sister?
Knew, yeah.
See, I think the tub was before that, though.
Yeah.
The tub was before.
But the tub, no one else saw that. It falls but in. I'm saying he's manipulating.
It falls Venetia. In. Yes. So that's what I said. Well, there was actually one more thing in between there. He started playing some word games with the mom. With
right about Pamela Rosamund about Carrie Mulligan's
and I was like and I was like I think maybe I was looking at it differently at that point. That was my next thing. The sister was after that, and then the manipulating Farley was the next in line. And
so I thought you could notice the change happen when they were still at Oxford, when he started drinking with them. Remember, and he ditched the math kid.
Yeah, but I took that still as just being accepted
trying
into
to get
the,
in. He's trying to get in.
He got an in, and it's like he didn't seem to. The forced friendship with the math nerd was strictly a result of like an open seat. I don't think it was like where he wanted to be.
Oh no!
And so it was like, yeah, I'm happy to be out. And again, you start to see that there was a little more choreography going on behind the scenes that you were definitely, you know, what you were you had to be unaware of at the time. But
so I hear what you're saying. So the scene. Before the scene with Venetia, he's talking to the mom and he's talking about, oh, yeah, but you didn't notice that the stories, the emotional blackmail of Carrie Mulligan's character. And then the mom's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, thank God for you. So he is.
He's steering
a little bit of. Yeah, he's exactly.
Which is when you're 20 minutes removed from him being a inverted, you know, or whatever.
Introverted.
Like, introverted.
Introverted, kind of dorky guy. And then he's taking. And then he takes the information the mom gives him about the daughter, and he uses it right on her, and he takes he knows that she's going to respond to him that way because she's a masochist, so he can talk to her and tell her what to do, tell her she's going to eat, tell her that she's accepted the way she is to somebody who's bulimic.
Yeah,
you tell them that you accept them exactly as they are, and you're not disgusted by anything about their body. You just want them. I mean, that's
he made that clear.
Yeah, he made that clear. Exactly. So, I mean, that's why I think that scene's brilliant.
That's so amazing.
Obviously shocking, but to, again, not that scene of the movie.
It's amazing to me that we all have. Different
I did not think. I thought we would all.
I thought mine was the most obvious. So yeah, I agree.
The bathtub for me, just because it's he's by himself, right? Yeah. No one's watching. He's not doing it to manipulate.
As opposed to the grave.
Oh, I guess he's by himself there, too.
Well, yeah, he wasn't really by himself.
And that,
then.
So they said that wasn't written. That was just his idea.
Yeah, I read he asked for, like, a cleared set because he just wanted to. It was supposed to be a little more just, like, fingering. And he asked for a closed set so he could just kind of just see where it went, and took it.
I don't know how he's not nominated for that. He's so good in this.
He's really good. Well, he's just really good, right? We said he's this really in Banshees of Inisherin.
I'm so mad at myself for not watching Killing of a Sacred Deer, which she's in as well.
I have not seen that either.
And it's Yorgos Lanthimos movie, who's he did Poor Things this year. That everyone's talking about as well. So I'm sure that's
good. I've yet to see and be like, yeah, I want to watch that.
A Yorgos movie or Poor Things?
Poor Things.
Yeah,
I don't know what
I'm
it is.
Intrigued, and I've been told by Charlie that it's good. So
okay, well,
but I've seen other movies by Yorgos that I don't love. The Favorite, and I didn't love The Lobster.
Oh, Lobster was Colin Farrell.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
It was strange. Isn't Killing of the Sacred Deer? Isn't Colin Farrell in that too?
Yeah,
could be. Likes the Irish.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it's a Yorgos movie too. Yeah, I don't know but Barry, let's just say, amazing actor.
He is, and honestly, like, he is, I think that transformation, one of the notes I saw, which I felt like ties into, he said he approached the movie as if he was playing five different characters, and he labeled each scene for himself as Oliver 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and so on, so he could play whichever one at any given time, and part of his process, he wrote in five different Moleskine notebooks detailing what that Oliver's motivations were and mannerisms. And then the other part I saw was that the director, Emerald Fennell, would ask him to perform each scene twice, once as Oliver and another as the real Oliver, so that he had two different like portrayals on screen.
That's wild. I didn't read any of that. That's awesome.
And it's I was really fascinated by it, and I think we all agree, right? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 part kind of makes sense, because you can't just jump like not be paying attention to this movie, because I feel like all of a sudden you're like, what the hell just happened to this guy?
I don't know that any other actor could have pulled it off as well as he did either.
Like, it really feels like perfect casting,
because he's everything. He is this dorky introverted guy, but then he can also be really super charming and kind of attractive in lots of ways. And when you see him in real life, like, he seems that way. So it's just so weird how he can jump back and forth.
And he was made fun of numerous people, you know. And yeah, I don't disagree. I feel like they really nailed him, and he really nailed that. And then I saw his most terrifying part of this movie to him was the final scene.
Yeah. Just because he had to dance.
Not being naked. It was just because he had to dance on screen.
Yeah. He's fine being naked, clearly.
Clearly.
Not an issue there.
Be proud, boy.
But what a... That final scene, like, is so good. Like, the Murder on the Dance Floor song
Just Kiss on the
music. Right?
Like, throughout. And then caps it off with the perfect song.
I just was like, what? You couldn't have finished that movie any better. I think that's when I feel like that last couple minutes is when my brain started to turn myself back around a little bit. I'm like, do I like this movie?
Yeah, because I was not expecting that kind of an ending with the twists. And then yes, with the actual final scene, also just brilliant. Because it reminisces of the scene when Felix Jacob Elordi, is doing the tour of him. And it's all based on Felix. So he's like, oh, I fingered a girl there.
Yeah.
He's talking about his dead relatives or whatever. And you should be looking at the house, right? But they're all just you're focused on him walking
room,
through.
Blow I think room.
Emerald Fennell said, like, that's, you know, you can't, that's him. Like, you can't take your eyes off Jacob. But it's meant to make you think, hey, he's obsessed with Jacob too, right? Like, he's looking at, not Jacob, Felix, because he's looking at him instead of looking at the house. But he really was falling in love with the house and wanting the, you know, wanting the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Did you think at any point that he was trying to like clear the deck to like hook up with the mom?
Yeah, I couldn't think.
Not necessarily to clear the deck. I did think, like I said, I started noticing a little bit of that, like, looks, and I don't want to say overt flirtation necessarily, because I don't know that existed, but I think it was subtle. I did not see any of the clearing of the deck happening at all.
Yeah, like, I guess maybe not clearing the deck, but like I had thoughts of like, oh, that's where it's going. Like,
I mean, at some point when everyone else was gone, I'm like, oh, maybe that was his plan all along. Or maybe at first I thought it was just for the sister. But then you're thinking, no, he wants Felix.
And are you referring kind of later on that after the kids are gone and he's like, I can't leave her?
Yeah.
Type of thing?
Yeah, that was.
I will say I did.
And yeah, I mean, who wouldn't stick around for a Rosamund fight?
In the moment, I did recognize that he poisoned Felix with the champagne bottle. I in the moment I saw, I was like, he brought that and he chugged it and he died. I was like, that's 100% he poisoned that bottle. And I knew that for sure. With Venetia, you had no idea because you couldn't have known what he left on the on the edge of the tub. And the dad, I think, was random. Is that not?
I think it just
That
I was think when you both your kids die, and he was probably already a little bit of a screw loose.
That was a great casting as well.
Yeah,
I recognize that guy from some things, but I don't even know from what. But
Spice
I'm
World.
That's not it.
Sure it isn't.
I don't know. Is there anything else you could think that he's in?
I think it's perfect when all the scenes when they're around the dinner table, right? And how they're very proper and British. And the first time I watched it, I thought, I'm like, there's no way they would be sitting down for lunch after he. But that was such a great scene. And I didn't realize it until the second time that Farley had said, they said Farley, like, we don't want your American emotions. Like, that's how Brits are. They tamper down their emotions, right? Whereas Farley's like, I can't just sit here and do this. You guys are all fucked up. And they're like, don't keep your emotions at check. Like, what else are we supposed to do?
And there were points that when they did that, like, I understand, like, after you find Felix's body and then, like, she's like, oh, lunch is almost on. Let's go. And it's kind of like, all right, you're just in shock. You're just trying to go back to your routine. And, like, I get that. But then when Oliver was like remarking like how the food was, and like I was like, dude, you're blowing it. Like, they're gonna know you're like something.
Well, I think there's an argument to be made that like the girl that Felix was banging in the middle of the maze would have been like, yeah, no, that guy walked up. He came in, he came right in here.
He did, and he did take the bottle back, and he seemed to blame it on Farley for having coke.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. So, and they probably, I don't know what he gave him in the bottle, but I'm sure it's something.
Right, I'm just saying.
That made it look like a drug overdose. Right. Right.
Would have probably been at least.
And Farley, too. After everyone else dies, I think Farley would have been like, what? You're getting the will? Like,
yeah.
But then again, he might be just, you know, broken. And I mean, yeah, it worked out pretty well. I really got to give credit to Emerald Fennell. Have you guys watched
I don't really know.
Promising Young Woman?
Oh, yes. That's, yes. He did that? I did watch it. I didn't love that. Such good things about it.
Yeah, and it got nominated for Best Picture, I want to say.
Yeah. That's why I put a little note, because I felt like she put Carey Mulligan in this too. I was like,
And she in Carey Mulligan is great in Promising Young Woman. Great.
Yeah.
I just personally didn't love the movie. I think kind of the ending just
I need to rewatch it, because I enjoyed it, and obviously there's a lot to it, but I think this is such an interesting follow up to that movie. Like, she's a great filmmaker. I got to give her a lot of credit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I saw Barry. He signed up with no script. He just said he figured it would be such an amazing experience. He was just in.
And I mean, good on him. I'm surprised it has. I mean, like we were saying, for all the talk, but I don't know that it got many nominations.
Saltburn?
Golden, yeah.
No,
Golden
I don't believe so either.
Which I mean, got a Golden Globe, didn't it?
Did it
for what? Best Picture?
I don't know. I thought it said it was nominated on when I pulled it up on Prime, but
Golden Globe for Best Actor.
Okay.
Motion picture.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that matters. It gets some noms. Yeah. Some nominations. I don't care if it wins or not.
I think it was interesting, and I kind of just remarked like how.
Best supporting actress.
The casting of Felix and Farley.
Yeah.
Them being or appearing to be so much taller
mm-hmm.
than Oliver, just mm-hmm. kind of like also portrayed like them looking Rosalind down Pike. On him.
Mm-hmm.
Looking down at him like figuratively and literally. Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is somebody from, you know, where was he from? Not Portsmouth.
Something like that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Port or somewhere outside of Liverpool.
Some outside, or... yeah. And it was like, oh, yeah, we don't really talk about him. And I just thought, like, that was like, oh, yeah, you can see the symbolism.
Totally. And yeah, in the scene where they do go visit his parents and they're just normal. Like, I didn't know. You know, you're trying to catch up with the movie.
Yeah.
You're trying to be like, okay, what does this all mean for, like, is he a psychopath? Is he going to kill them? Or what is the end game?
And he knows he's out. I mean, he knows it's over. He's caught, right?
And there's no other really movie like this. So that's, I mean, it was an interesting experience for, if nothing else, right?
Yeah,
like,
agreed.
And you can't be mad that you watched it.
Yeah, it's not just like pure vengeance at that point. It's just such a calculated approach to start, you know, Felix obviously kind of breaking up the friendship is the end of the road, and he, you know, he puts the plan in motion and it goes from there.
Do you think Felix was always the target, or do you think he would have targeted anybody at Oxford?
No, I think it was, I took it as Felix is clearly this alpha, like, icon that every single person, everywhere he went, he was the attraction.
Yeah.
And clearly attractive person, girls, boys, everyone wanted to be around him. I think
Ollie was attracted to him.
I think he was being honest.
Yeah.
Exactly. In that regard.
I did love him at some point. Like, yeah, there's a very easy way. And probably also because whatever, him and Farley got placed in that with that tutor in the beginning too. I wondered why that was the case, like that it happened to be, but he probably recognize, you know, saw that Farley was hanging out with this guy too, so it made it more just put him on his radar. You know, there were probably a bunch of other kids it could have been, but, you know, for the sake of the movie,
there's an argument to be made that Felix wouldn't, you know, when he got a flat tire, he might not have just sat down and just waited for the world to come to him.
Yeah. Right, like that might not have worked exactly the right way.
I am now stranded here forever.
Yeah.
Could have just walked it on.
So, I have a bunch of questions after the movie. One of the questions was, does Oliver keep Duncan and the staff on?
Duncan is a is an interesting character.
I would say interesting is the word I would say.
Yeah, because I feel like he kind of knows what was going on early.
Yeah, those guys see everything.
Right. And that's why I you know chose the quote that I did when he's just like, lots of people get lost. Like, I think that's kind of a key part of the movie when he says that to him, because I don't think he means that, you know, that Oliver is like lost. I think he's kind of saying,
you lose yourself.
Yeah, like he knows that what he's up to a little bit, because he just has that look about him, and there's a reason why they make him creepy and just kind of staring in the background. And when Felix's character dies, they are in that room together and they are looking at each other, and he's there. He's the last one at the grave, so there's something to him. But yes, I think that's the point. I think they stay with the house.
I don't think the staff does. Did you? The staff was.
The staff was happy for him. The
one dude waving goodbye to Barry when he walked out.
Yeah, but that was when he was leaving as a guest. But when he, I think they stay on
at the house
with the house. Yeah, I think it's all part of Saltburn, and I think Duncan is ultimately. That's why he doesn't intervene at any point and say, "Hey, I think this guy's whatever. Do it." He's there with the house. He's not there with the keeper of the house.
You're right.
That's fair.
The actor that played Duncan, I was like, why does he look so familiar? Ooh, just because he's super creepy. He's the serial killer in season two of Luther.
Oh. Back when Luther was good.
Yeah.
Real good.
Real good.
Season one, two,
I don't
and three,
remember,
I say, real
I don't
good.
Remember.
Yeah, he was.
But that makes sense, right? That plays. It does fits. Serial killer vibe to him.
Does Oliver invite his parents to Saltburn?
No.
No, he was done. They're dead to him.
Right.
Well, that's where I think some of the stuff I've seen on movie after I watched it, you know, they're saying like, oh, this is a, you know, eat the rich, kind of like get back at the rich. But that's not what this movie is to me, I don't think. I think it's the opposite. I think, you know, because Oliver is perfectly fine, right? He has their house was huge, nice.
Yeah.
He has nice parents. He can afford to go to a great.
His parents had a real nice marriage.
Yeah. Clarence's parents have a real nice marriage. But he just wants more. It's not about eating the rich and giving it to, you know, to other people, other poor people or anything like that.
No.
It's replacing.
He just wants it.
Yeah. He just wants it. He wants to be on top, and it's gonna, you know, he's gonna be the new. He just wanted that ultra rich lifestyle.
Yeah, is Spag Bowl just spaghetti?
I looked it up. Spaghetti bolognese.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good question, too. Oh, I love spag ball.
Like, that's just spaghetti, right?
I mean, who doesn't love a good bolognese? Meat sauce.
Yeah, everybody's a good
person. Perfect the spag ball.
And then my last question was, does Farley come back for revenge?
Yeah, that's what I was asking, too. I feel like maybe.
He has nothing.
But he also
presumably he would have been in the will inadvertently, but unless something changed. But
and I bet the dad wrote him out before he died or whatever.
Doesn't
something
seem
like that.
When he was
but
cutting
also,
checks,
I would be terrified of Oliver. I think right. At that point, like I wouldn't be. If he
took down a whole family and took over the house that Farley said was his,
there'd
be reason to be concerned.
Oh, another that scene when he jumps on top of Farley. Oh, I think you're the wrong group. I mean, just a lot of. I don't know. It all worked because each character was very well thought out, right? They're all three dimensional characters and acted really well. Very funny.
It was kind of just perfectly calculated and orchestrated by Ollie throughout for each one, based off everything he picked up and observed for, I don't know, even know what the duration of time was that they were there, but
six summer. Months or so.
Yeah.
No, you'd known him for
summer,
6 months. Yeah,
so it would have been summer at most.
2 months.
Yeah. Right. That's what I mean. Like it's a
two,
month.
3 months.
And oh, back to your Duncan question, whether he stays on or not. Like, I think that was part of the first breakfast scene, right? When he has
the eggs.
Yeah. He's like, he's testing the limits of it, right? Like, hey, these eggs are runny. You're going to replace them for me. And I'm going to act all, oh, sorry about it. But, you know, he would really, I think
that's a good call.
Doing. And then the other scene that I think was just interesting or funny is when they're all singing for his birthday party, right? They're singing and he has got the birthday cake and no one knows his name. And yeah. I mean,
but I think it also just makes him hate everyone.
Right,
just
exactly.
As much,
like,
more.
That's why you're thinking you're watching one movie where, oh, this poor guy. And all the while he's diabolical and. You know, plotting all this shit. Everybody.
And I thought the moth analogy from Venetia was a great one.
Great. That was a good scene, too.
Really good scene. And just, you know, even to the point that they end up kissing and she just like is so disgusted with herself afterwards that like she kind of let that go back there. And that's probably honestly led to
right
those razor blades being in the right place.
Yeah.
Wrong place.
Yeah. Wrong place. We talked about the music at the end, but throughout the movie, I wondered if this is why she picked Emerald Fennell picked this time period, because why set it in 2006? Like, why not just make it last year? But I feel like it's for the music, because I mean, there was Arcade Fire, Block Party, MGMT, Killers. Yeah, Mr. Brightside. So just lots of good songs. I love that like mid 2000s.
Yeah, I heard Block Party. I agreed. I didn't really necessarily tie that in, but that's a fair point. Driven by the...
Yeah, I wondered if there was another reason why it was set in like 2006.
Yeah, none that I would think are obvious, but it felt like a... unless the end was supposed to be like current time, and so she had to go backwards. I don't, you know, yeah. Hard to say.
Yeah.
How much time do you think passed between...
I wasn't sure either.
Yeah,
that's
a tough question.
Yeah, that's... Cause
even
when
the dad, you don't know how long the dad...
Right. Because I was going to say, when mom runs into him at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he'd been working out, you know, spending some time in the gym, and then some time had passed because his physical appearance
grown up.
Changed. Right.
Yeah, you're exactly. So grown up, Ollie. she's really good. She's perfect as that British
mom. Yeah, Rosamund, right? our girl from back from the Gone Girl days.
That's why she got the nom.
Not only that, she little bit of a inverse from the I Care A Lot role, right? She took advantage of the weak and controlled their assets and literally had the role flipped on her this time around.
Yeah.
She gets duped by the villain this time instead of being the villain.
And has someone take control of her assets.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't hate it, and I probably will watch it. So I guess I put it in the I liked it category. All right,
turn them around.
I did want to ask Martin, because I'm going to go to you, Jelani, no offense, but by all means, please answer. Are you familiar with Robert Browning's poem, My Last Duchess?
I know Robert Browning, but I don't know.
Well, I clearly, you know, I don't know, but...
you could recite it by memory, can't you?
During the note I saw, this is, I guess, depends on how dialed in you can... If you are dialed in, it might flag you early, but during one of the university tutorials at Oxford, Oliver mentions that poem, My Last Duchess. The poem has a number of parallels with the characters and story of the film. Like Saltburn, My Last Duchess is narrated by a man telling the story of his lost love, a beautiful aristocrat who was also loved by many. However, as the story progresses, the narrator explains his growing resentment of the aristocrat's romantic interest in other people, as well as the lack of romantic interest in him. It eventually becomes clear the narrator ends up murdering this person, and... That seems pretty apropos so you'd have to, maybe, I don't know how deep of a pull that poem is, as deep, deep for me, but, but yeah, that's why I wanted to ask if you, you
not,
were aware.
Not familiar with it, but yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, when you think about Ollie's character, he never really seems interested in a sexual relationship with anybody, like that girl in the beginning, like he kind of blows that.
Yeah, because he's talking about
whatever.
Or he answers honestly to her question, yeah. Like, of whether Felix would be jealous.
He's clearly going after, but everything he does it doesn't seem like he's that interested in any one gender or whatever. It's just whatever's going to get him to his ends.
Right, exactly.
And it's all means to an end.
Right, and I think that would have complicated things for him, right?
Right.
In his mind, he's just like, listen, I have an end goal, and however I can get there, I'm going to get there. Whether it's seduce Farley, seduce the sister, doesn't matter.
Right.
So that's why I thought maybe he was going to try to seduce the mom.
Right, right. But he keeps his eyes on, he knows that each one of those would have been messed up, and I think that's what Farley says, too. He's like, oh, you dumb boy, like, this is going to mess you up. You're going for the sister. But he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, yeah. I don't know. It is. It's diabolical.
Yeah.
Do you think that he... got with the sister thinking like he could seduce her, and then when he saw Felix's reaction, he like played it off and then realized I don't need to go down this path? Or
no.
He
I think he's a complete psychopath who is manipulating everybody in whatever way he can. He's basically Hannibal Lecter.
I do think he was working that angle, and then I do think that played into, I just think it helped him recognize the situation
more. Yeah, it was like a test, kind of.
I think it just helped him. No, I just think it helped him understand more about how to keep going. Because I don't know if initially I took it. My assumption is that he, in this plan, really, I do think he just wanted to be with Felix. And if that meant him and Felix living in Saltburn, whatever it was, I think it turned when Felix learned about his lie. And then essentially it was like, you're gone. You're gone after your party. And then that meant Felix had to be eliminated too.
Right. So, he had to change his game plan.
But in the beginning, I don't know that. I don't necessarily agree that it was just like, I think he started on Venetia and then it just kind of the path was there and then he went down it.
Yep. I think that's exactly right.
Yep.
It moved his timeline up.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So thoughts, Brady? Are you coming around to a like now?
Yeah, I mean, I like it more than I thought I did. I don't know if I'll rewatch it again, but I think there are no situations where I'm just like, oh, this is on, like, you know,
not anymore, right?
Right.
You're not just flipping through on TBS anymore.
And this not might never be on TBS.
Like in Saltburn,
just on a hunch. I just don't know that I would just like, oh, yeah, I'll dive in here. But I like it more than I think I thought I did. I think
it's going to age well.
Yeah.
I think there's more people.
That's a fair assessment, too.
Yeah. I think it's going to, in a couple years, people are going to look back on it.
Or
it's going to get completely forgotten.
The determining factor will be if people can get over themselves about that scene.
Yeah.
Whichever that scene is for each person. But I think that will be a hurdle for some people. Yeah. But to the point of this movie's not one you'd recommend to everybody.
Yeah.
But the people that would and do enjoy watching something that's a little bit different, and I think will find it good.
Yeah. At the very least, put Murder on a Dance Floor on all your playlists.
I mean,
it's been on like repeat for me.
It's really damn good. It's such a good finish to this thing. God.
As always, don't be a spoiled dog sleeping belly up, but do subscribe to the pod wherever you listen. Thanks, and go to bed.